What's up, Noel Nation? I'm Jesse from Plant the Spear, joined by my guys from the Cavalier Connection, and we're going to talk the who's of the who's, because Florida State has a giant game on Friday night. First road test, first ACC test, going on the road against Virginia. A good Virginia team, 3-1 to start the season. Man, I'm going to be up there in Charlottesville. I can't wait. I'm going to see you guys there on Friday night. Really excited about that. So, man, let's talk about this team, right? First things first, how are you, my friends? And I appreciate y'all being on with me for this one.
Yeah, doing great. Happy to join you. Love what you do over here at Plant the Spear. I think you do a great job. So anytime.
Yeah, for sure. And can't wait for tomorrow night.
Can't wait.
Yeah, man. It's going to be a really big game, right? I mean, obviously, top 10 team coming to town. Virginia's been on a hot start. Nighttime, anytime you have a night game, national TV, ESPN. So, man, really excited. This is going to be brought to you by the College Huddle. Make sure you guys check that out. We are both members of that. They are the UVA representative. We are the FSU representative. So that is what makes this possible. I actually got to hang out with my guy, Jack, at Media Days this year, and he helped me get my first credential for my first game. So shout out to you, my friend. I really appreciate that. Walk me through the process there. So let's jump into Virginia. Now, this was, you know, let me start here, right? We talked at ACC Media Days how you had said there was a big investment in this team during the offseason. They were able to go out and get some pieces and stuff like that. And I know there was the tough loss at NC State. That one kind of hurts because, you know, again, for those of you who aren't familiar, that game came down to the very last play. And Virginia very well could have won that game if it hadn't have been an interception in the end zone. I think they had a chance to score on that play. But other than that, you're 3-1. The offense is humming. Things look good. So obviously that investment is paying off now. So now that we're four games into the season, again, we'll look at the schedule here. Coastal Carolina, win number one, 48-7. Then you go on the road to NC State. Again, drop that one in a close one. But then you bounce back against William and Mary, 55-16. And then you blow Stanford out of the water, 48-20. So that was a big win there. And I don't know if you guys like don't like William and Mary, but I'll give you a famous quote from Bobby Bowden where he said, if you guys had more Williams than Marys, you'd probably be better at football. So shout out to the GOAT there. But talking about that 3-1 start, guys, go ahead and you can – choose whoever wants to go first here. Just give me some overall thoughts on what you've seen so far this season. And knowing where you're at, would you say that's kind of below, at, or even above expectations for where you thought they'd be four games into the season?
I'll start. I'd say they're at expectations for the start of the season. Coming into the season, I speak on behalf of my dad and Jay, thought that Virginia would be 3-1 at worst by this point, because we didn't expect to lose to Coastal Carolina or William and Mary. Stanford, they looked pretty bad week one. they looked bad a couple times. Yeah. And my assessment is they've done what they're supposed to do. The NC State game really breaks my heart. The good thing about that, if there's any good thing, is it's weird. They count it as a non-conference game, which is a whole
nother. I forgot game. About that. Yeah.
So
okay.
It doesn't count in ACC play, which is good. But I mean, the offense looked really well in that game. And people say that wasn't a good test because NC State hasn't looked good against them. No, NC State's good. They just haven't – they've played competitively with anybody. And Virginia looked good. The offense was great. Just the defense couldn't stop them. And I think that is the biggest concern. And we'll get into that more in a little bit. The defense has been bad. I mean, they've done their job against these smaller schools. But against William and Mary, giving up a couple plays over the top completely at deep passes, happened against Stanford a couple times too, and I'm really worried about the secondary. With that being said, though, I've mentioned this after the Stanford game, I truly believe that this offense can compete with anybody in the country. It's been so good, and again, they haven't been tested too hard except for NC State. But when you look at the amount of weapons that have gotten involved for this Virginia offense, and the offensive line has been holding up really well, only giving up one sack, which is arguably quarterback Chandler Morris's fault. This offense is the best in the Elliott and Dez Kitchen, offense coordinator Dez Kitchen's era by far yet. So right at expectations, I'd say, maybe exceeding a little bit on the offensive side of the ball. The problem is what's going to happen with the defensive side, in my opinion.
Yeah. Jeff, give me some thoughts on this season as a whole and how things are going from your view.
Yeah. I say we are on par with what we expected. And I really thought we were going to be 4-0 coming into this game. The NC State game always was the question mark for us. Offensively, I'm not so surprised about the offense because the amount of weapons they brought in, the depth that they've built on the offensive line, the amount of – I mean, there's just weapons all over the field on offense. And I know Jack's talking about the defense. And on the negative side, we have given up big plays. On the positive side, though, against Stanford, we had 5 sacks on the quarterback, yeah, too. So if we can get to the quarterback and, you know, hopefully make up for some of the deficiencies on the backside – and I don't know what's going on the backside. There's just some miscommunication, but there's definitely been some big plays against the defense. But as a whole, super excited. We're 3-1, and we're super excited to be hosting Florida State on Friday night on ESPN. And we're just hoping and wishing for the best.
Yeah, yeah, and I can see that because. Even, you know, it's funny you say that, Jack. I forgot that was not a conference game. Yeah. And so, like, again, really, when you think about it, all your goals are in front of you, right? Because yeah. you still don't have a loss in the ACC. And, I mean, I hope it doesn't happen. But, obviously, this can be a program-defining win for you guys on Friday night. And then, you know, you look at the schedule going forward here. I mean, at Louisville will be a little bit tough. Washington State and North Carolina, you can win. I mean, both of those are dumpster fires right now. You know, Cal just got smoked by San Diego State. Wake, I think you guys can win there. Duke is not looking like Duke of last year. And then Virginia Tech at the end there. So, and Lord knows they're terrible too. So, I mean, realistically, this could be 8-9 win team at the end of the day. You know, if maybe you drop Florida State and Louisville or something like that. But, you know, again, there's a lot of momentum. And where I want to start is with the offense, because that has obviously been the story, especially with Chandler Morris comes in. He's a gunslinger. He's a 6-year guy. He's played a lot of college football. So what I want to do is I want to ask you about this offense, man. It's 45.5 points per game on the year so far. Now, as we talked about, some of the defenses were not the greatest that you guys have went up against. Obviously, I think Friday night's going to be your biggest test defensively, so we'll see how that goes. But I still think it's like 39.5 points per game against Power 4 defenses, which is always impressive, because I usually early in the season try and filter out, you know, the teams that you run the score up on. Like, we scored 70 on East Texas A&M. Yeah. Are we going to score 70 on Virginia? Probably not. So I usually kind of throw the mulligans out the window there. It would be great, but I
wouldn't be surprised.
Your defense isn't great, but it's not that bad, I doubt. Let's talk about that offense, man. And I think it all starts with Chandler Morris, right? I think he has been nailed so far this season. So just kind of talk me through what you've seen from Chandler Morris and then some of the weapons that Florida State fans should keep their eyes on for Friday night.
Do you want to go, Jack?
Go ahead, Dad.
No, I was going to say, I mean, Chandler Morris has been outstanding. And the thing is, you know, playing Florida State too and the high power offense they have, hopefully, you know, offensively, we can control the ball. I think we have – our backfield's really good as well. We have Jamari Taylor, who yeah, I think he's got good. 7 touchdowns this year already, or 6 or 7. Tough runner, hard to bring down right away. You got Xavier Brown, who he can catch the ball out of the backfield and kind of an explosive player, could take it to the house at any point. Harrison Whaley, transfer out of Wyoming, I believe it is. And I know this was against William & Mary, but I think he tied the school record with longest – was it 97?
He took the school record 97 yards.
97-yard touchdown run. Explosive guy as well. At wide receiver, we have Trell Harris, who can just take the top off. And then you got transfer in from James Madison. Cam Ross has been the big name. He returned against opening week against Coastal
Carolina.
He took one to the house on a punt return. He's a explosive playmaker. Get the ball in his hands. He makes plays. Tight end. Help me, Jack. Now my mind.
Stay Jennis.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so there's weapons everywhere. You know, you could double Trell, but then there's somebody else for him to throw to. You know, Trell's the guy who takes the top off. He'll go get the football. He had an amazing catch in that game against Stanford that, I don't know, it was a highlight catch. I think he had 3 touchdown catches in the first quarter, right, Jack?
Yes.
3 mm-hmm. touchdown catches in the first quarter. So, I mean, I don't know. Florida State is going to be the test. So,
yeah, Jack, I've – I've done some scouting, and the Taylor kid, the running back, he runs hard. I think he's averaging 7.25 yards per carry against Power 4 defenses. Obviously, you guys have run for over 200 yards on the ground against both of the Power 4 teams, so that's really kind of what's got my eye, because if you try and stop and take the run away, well, I mean, then you're putting the ball in Chandler Morris's hands with a couple of good players. I mean, the receiver that we talked about, Trell, I mean, he looks pretty good there. Cam Ross is a dynamic athlete, as you mentioned. I've already warned our listeners that, like, in the return game, you better watch out for him too. And we play a lot of zone defense, so those are the kind of guys who can find space, right? Mm-hmm. And then Sage Ennis, you mentioned him too, the Clemson transfer. I mean, I think I looked it up the other day. He's on 4 catches, 2 of them are touchdowns. So, I mean, there are definitely some weapons on the side of the ball. But, Jack, tell me what you've seen from Chandler Morris that makes you confident that if this game is a shootout, that Virginia can go blow with Florida State.
Yeah, Morris has been incredible. And I hate to keep saying this on any episode I'm on, whether it's with our podcast or whatever, but compared to our quarterback last year, I hate to mention his name all the time, Anthony Calandra, who we thought at the time, coming into last season, thinking this guy's going to take us to the promised land. He had so much potential. Compared to him last year, it's not even close. Making plays outside the pocket is, I think, what's impressed me so much. When he gets pressured, and don't get me wrong, our offensive line has done a phenomenal job. But if he does get pressured, if people get through the offensive line, he's getting out of the pocket. He's making plays on the run under pressure. He's taking off when he needs to and scrambling. He learned his lesson after week one to slide, because he took a pretty tough hit week one and went out in the game. But he seems to be okay now. But, man, making plays under pressure, directing traffic, pointing receivers in different directions, he's been unbelievable. And the only mistake all year, besides not sliding in week one, was the interception at the end of NC State. It's just a shame that his first interception and only interception of the year so far came at the worst possible moment. And people forget, before at North, he was at North Texas, he was with TCU, and he won the job over Heisman finalist Max Duggan, but he got hurt, and TCU ended up being really good, and Max Duggan led them really well. But, I mean, he's competed at a high level, and now he's just trying to prove himself one final time at UVA. So, you know, I think he 100% can compete against any team, and with this all, I'll mention really quick also offense coordinator Des Kitchen too. A lot of UVA fans have been very skeptical about over the last few years, and Coach Elliott brought him back, and he mentioned that at media day, how he was one of the only schools in the country to bring back both coordinators. When you have talent, it's crazy how good talent can make a coordinator look. And he's gotten so creative, especially in that Stanford game, running some direct snaps. He's ran direct snaps all year in the red zone, putting people in motion. So I'm really interested to see what they're going to come out in against Florida State, because obviously some of that crap's not going to work against a school like Florida State.
But right,
one more thing to watch for, and then you open up more spots, more stuff. But Morris has definitely been a big upgrade for sure.
Yeah, it's good to hear that, because I had said, like, I think Virginia's going to pull some stuff out of the bag in this game, right? They got this – this is a huge – this would be a huge win for them. Like, why would you save anything for after this game? Obviously, he's been a huge addition for you guys. And trust me, we know all about that. Like, we went literally from Jordan Travis to DJ Please Go Away. Obvious. You know, it's hilarious how things went downhill. And so, I mean, he's definitely changed things there. And like you said, man, it's amazing how sometimes the talent can just – make or break a coordinator, right? And so he's been really good. And again, he's got a lot of weapons to work with. I do think, again, that, like, he's in for his toughest test on Friday night. I'm so used to saying Saturday night. It's weird to say Friday night on a Friday night against a secondary that's been pretty good, right? They got 3 interceptions on the season so far. It's a very talented, very fast secondary. We got a lot of speed back there on the back end. So that's going to be a battle that I'm going to be really interested to watch, because one of my 3 keys to victory for Florida State in this is to affect Chandler Morris without losing contain, because he's almost one of those guys where you want to get him on the ground, but you almost don't, it's not worth the risk to let him get loose, because then the way he turns a busted play into something or hurts you with his legs, it's just dangerous. Right. And so he's definitely going to be the one that we have our eye on. He's the one thing that I think just really gives Virginia that fighting chance in this one. Right. Because he's a game changer, and he's got a lot of weapons to work with. But before we transition off the offense, I have heard a lot about injuries up front on this offensive line. I know the center, I think he was listed as – I forget what their terms are on the thing now, probable or something like that. I know it was a calf strain I think they were looking at. So, you know, maybe he can go. Maybe he's not 100%. Our nose tackle is like 6'6", 360. So, good luck blocking that with a good calf, let alone a bad calf. But there was like five or six offensive linemen on the injury report that is new to the ACC this year. So just kind of give me some thoughts on the injuries up front and the offensive line situation. Were any of the guys that are out that you've lost starters? Were they maybe key rotational players? And then, like, where is that starting five at? What's the depth look like if you were to lose somebody?
Yeah, no, I'll take this. So first off, I'm gonna start by saying this: God hates the University of Virginia. We say this at the in the preseason every year. Actually, a lot of these offensive line injuries came in fall camp before the season even began. And I'm gonna pull up our depth chart here. But as far as the injury report goes, Brady Wilson, as you mentioned, he's our starting center. He's questionable right now. There's a questionable and there's a probable, so it changes a bit. But Brady Wilson, we don't know if he's going to play, but he's been so good this year. He's by far been the best option at center. And the problem is, if he doesn't play, we're going to move our right guard Drake Metcalf over to center, which he's great at center. The problem is, then you got to plug somebody in at right guard, and that's what kind of screws up the whole line. One of the backups that's on the injury report, he's listed as probable, Ethan Sipe, who's kind of a rotational guy. He'll definitely play for sure if Wilson's out, and he might slide into that right guard spot, I think. But when you look at the other injuries, there's so many of them. David Wanabla, I think that's how you pronounce. He was also injured in fall camp. He's getting close, though, I hear, in a couple weeks, hopefully. But he's definitely out. McKeelan Thomas, injured for a long time during fall camp. He's out. Wallace Unamba isn't going to be back anytime soon. Monroe Mills, I think I'm getting some names. Wallace Unamba, I'm getting mixed up. There's so many of them. He'll be back in a couple weeks, I think. Monroe Mills
is out.
He's done for the season, and he was a big get for us, a really good get out of the transfer.
Never suited up for us, unfortunately.
I don't know where he came from, but I know Louisville.
Louisville.
Okay. Yeah. I know I've heard that name.
He was our best get, and he got hurt in fall camp, done for the year. So
we had coming into the season between returning offensive linemen who could start and all the people we got out of the portal. Coming into the season, we were supposed to have probably 8 to 10 guys who could all start, all starters. And you even saw a bit week one against Coastal Carolina. Coach Elliott used everybody. He rotated guys in and out. And granted, it was a blowout, so you can. He rotated guys all game long, and it was great to see, and they held up really well. But so many injuries. But with Brady Wilson, it's going to be interesting if he plays or not. If he does, I think the line will be pretty strong. If his calf holds up, of course, but I mean, you just don't know too sure, but it is interesting to see the ACC injury report now being a thing a couple days before. And I think another one comes out a couple hours before game time, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So we'll know for sure about Brady Wilson and whomever else, before game time.
Yeah. I still laugh when they talked about that at media days. They're like, is there a fine structure in place if they don't follow it? And they're like, well, you know, we're just going to go on the honor system. I'm like, with college football coaches, are you crazy?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be no gamesmanship on there. I hear you, man, because like last year, the offensive line was our weak point, right? And we brought in 4 transfers and got a guy back from injury, and it's been night and day different. I mean, so that's really what's been, I think, the key to the turnaround for us, amongst other things. But, it all starts on the offensive line. And if you can't block, then nothing's going to go. And so, I mean, they have been pretty good. Like I said, I watched it, and I mean, they're averaging, I think they're like top 25 in pass block grade with PFF, block efficiency, excuse me. They're over 5, almost 6 yards of carry on the ground. Like you said, only 1 sack, which was pretty much on the quarterback. I did notice it's weird, kind of like the left side is the strong side of that. And UVA has run to the left side over 30 more times than they have to the right. I don't know if you knew that or not. That there's a free stat for you.
I didn't
know
that.
thanks, PFF. So I did notice that. And number 68, I don't know who that is, but I don't know if y'all made him walk home after NC State, but my guy was going through it during that game. So we'll see, man. But I mean, our defensive line has been pretty good, right? And so I think it's going to be a good challenge, but I would like to see our pressure numbers be stepped up more. And I think it's because we really haven't had to bring a lot of pressure against the last 2 opponents. They did get 19 pressures, 3 sacks on Alabama. So we'll see if they bring the heat in this game or not, but I think it's going to be a good challenge up against that offensive line. So let's switch over to the defense now. This is the part where I probably want to hear about it. You probably don't want to talk about it because UVA's defense has been a little bit rough. And I think, you know, the part for me is like NC State has a pretty decent offense, right? And I think that's with a CJ Bailey there with the mobile quarterback. That's probably a lot of what you're going to see. But then you also see the secondary, and it kind of just looks like there's a lot of issues back there, right? A lot of big plays being given up. I think I looked it up the other day. Out of 16 plays of over 20 yards or more, 14 of them came in the pass game, only two in the run game. Yep. So that just looks like – but the funny thing is when you say that's the weakness, and Gus Malzahn's on offense, we run the ball literally 70% of the time. And so you're kind of – your weakness is matches our weakness. But with that being said, Tommy Castellanos right now is number one in the country in big time throw weight, which is dropping it in a bucket over 20 yards down the field. So I just wonder where Virginia's at for this game. Like, are you going to try and load the box and take the runaway and then force us to throw against a secondary that's not been great? Or do you just kind of allow to run and then take away the big play pass, right? And then maybe we turn this into a little bit of a who can score the most when the last bell rings, right? But, man, so when we talk about that defense, I'll throw it to you first, Jeff, is the secondary seems like the weak point of the defense, right? And just tell me, like, am I right about that? And if I am, what would you consider the strength of the defense?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. And I would say the strength is probably, I guess, the defensive line. I was saying last week, after seeing some of the hiccups in the secondary, we just got to – if somebody's going to be as open as they are, we might as well send an extra body towards the quarterback.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And so, you know, the one thing about Castellanos and I'm just going to say, the weapons that he has playing with Florida State is very different from Boston College. But last year, Virginia defense, they shut him down really bad. I mean, they shut him down. And yeah, in the second half, like he had – there was nothing. I mean, it was sacks, fumbles, interceptions.
Yeah. I think he had four turnovers and four or five sacks in that game. Yeah.
So the thought is hopefully we can keep him, you know, inside the pocket. And, you know, he's not the tallest guy, I don't think.
No, he's not. He's 5'10".
In the air and try to bat some balls down. And you just hope that the defense can make a play or two. We know Florida State's going to score on us. But it's like kind of like you said, like, can we make a play or two? Who's going to make the play or two to maybe create a turnover or something just to get a stop? And yeah. I look at the game as hopeful. I'm hoping that Virginia can run the ball a bit to, you know, control a little bit of time of possession to try to keep your offense off the field or keep our defense off the field. And, yeah. And I just hope that, you know, we can just contain Castellanos and try to keep him, make him throw the football, and not saying he can't throw the football, but he's a super athletic guy. And hopefully we can get in his face and bat a ball down, or we need to send an extra guy. If somebody's going to be wide open, maybe we can get to him before he can throw the ball to him.
Yeah, it's funny because I was actually – we were literally just about to hit record the other day on our preview show, and I started reading Jack's article, and I had read something about his history against UVA, and I was like, oh, I forget he played against them. Mm-hmm. And I went back and looked at it, and I added that in the show. I was like, can he overcome the demons against his team? Because I was like, man, that's not encouraging. But at the same time, I was like, it's a different team. It's a different situation. I think he's gotten better. He doesn't have to be the only player on the team trying to win the game. But, you know, sometimes those ghosts live in the back of your head. You know what that team did to you last year. And so, obviously, we hope it doesn't go the same way this year. But the numbers are what they are. And so, with that, I will throw it to you, Jack, and just kind of tell me, like, what about is this, you think, is the strength of this defense? And then didn't you guys just get back a good linebacker?
Yes.
And then I also heard something about a seventh-year safety that you might be getting back, but I didn't see him listed on the depth chart. So kind of give me your thoughts on this defense. What's the strength? What's the weakness? And what's that linebacker room look like?
Yeah, so talking about the linebacker who just came back, Cam Robinson, who, in my opinion, is the best player on this entire Virginia roster, who kind of went down preseason. He also went down preseason. But he seems to be good. He played a lot of last Saturday's game and looked good. Had a couple tackles. Had a tackle for loss.
Fumble recovery.
Yeah, fumble recovery too. He should be good. The safety you're talking about, seventh year, feels like he's been here for as long as longer than I've been in high when I was in high school a few years ago. Antonio Clary, who is great. I mean, he went down. towards the beginning of last season, but he played through it and then eventually just got the surgery before the end of the year. So that way he'd be able to come in this year. And he's really good. I think he could really help piece together this secondary. He played one series against Stanford last week, and he's looking to get more run this week. I don't know how much he's going to get because Coach Elliott's still trying to be really cautious with him. But as far as the rest of the defense, I think the strength is definitely the front seven between the linebackers and the defensive line. The run defense has actually been pretty good. Stanford, again, we're talking about Stanford, but they're more there to run the ball. And you know, we really stopped the run really well. The only thing we gave up was the deep passes. And then we didn't stop the run against NC State, but William & Mary, Coastal Carolina, nobody's been able to run the ball on us except for NC State, which is good. And the pass rush was kind of a complaint of mine and my dad's early in the season, but they've kind of ramped it up. We got 5 sacks against Stanford. I think we got 3 against William & Mary, and we've had some QB hurries as well. So I agree with him 100%. You might as well just send pressure. And Coach Ellie or Coach Rudd, our defensive coordinator, has been bringing about 4 every play, 4 pass rushers, which I wish he would blitz more often, bring 5, bring 6. And he might against Florida State. I don't know. He might just not be showing his cards. I mentioned in my article last week against Stanford, he showed multiple times on 3rd downs, he'd bring everybody into the box and show like you're going to bring it. And then you got those linebackers, those safeties dropping back in zone coverage. So I'm wondering if maybe he's going to do a similar thing, but instead of that, he's going to actually bring them. But I'd really like to see blitz. I say contain Castellanos. All you can do is basically set an edge. Don't let him around the contain. And then, yeah. I mean, we did that against CJ Bailey, and then he ran up the middle between the contain. So you just got to do your best. You got to bend, don't break. Have a bend, don't break mentality. If you give up a field goal, that's a huge win. If you're giving up field goals, I'm happy. But just you got to bend, don't break. Don't give up the deep ball. And, you know, and I am worried about Florida State's run game and what they're going to do to us. But if I'm Virginia, I'm sacking the box. And there's the reason I'm doing a podcast, not coaching, but I'm sacking the box.
Yeah.
As much heat as possible. And then just coming after the run game and coming after Castellanos and kind of try and shake him up early. And you know, that's all you can do. There's not much.
One more thing. We have to tackle. Against NC State, we didn't tackle at all. Mm. Like you have to make the first tackle. We can't struggle be going
to against Stanford too.
3 guys. Yeah.
Yeah, I will say that. I did notice against NC State there was a lot of arm tackling. And then Stanford, it did look a lot better. But, I mean, you mentioned 3rd down. Like, I think you guys are one of the best teams in the country. Only, like, 10 conversions on 48 attempts or something like that on 3rd down. So that's going to be a big down for us. Obviously, you know, if I was going against Florida State, I would probably do the same thing. Like, I would still load the box, and I would still try and make Tommy Castellanos beat me with his arm. I mean, Alabama kind of took that approach early. We popped one over top of Squirrel White, but he only really threw the ball for, I think, 160 yards in that game. Mm-hmm. I think the challenge is stopping a Gus Malzahn offense on the ground. I mean, with all the speed that we have, I mean, we put up 230 rushing yards on Alabama. Well,
you only have about 9 different running backs you're using.
Exactly. We have a really, really deep running back room, which is exciting because it's really not been like one guy. So you can kind of lean on anybody. And then you have Castellanos.
Receiver.
And then we got the Danzy, you know, Makai Danzy, who's a track star, who they get it to him through the air. They get it to him on reverses. And, you know, if he's in open space, you're just not going to catch him. He's a world – you know, renowned track runner. So those are, we can just attack you in a lot of ways. Right. And that's the hard part. So I think, you know, if I'm UVA, I think you got to gamble in this game. I think you have to, like you said, man, you got to try and maybe add some pressure in here. And if they beat you over the top, they beat you over the top. And you just kind of hope that you can go blow for blow with them. But Jack, you know, talking about the way that you win this game, I read your article the other day about how Virginia's going to, how can you stop an offense with the weapons like this? And first off, Florida State fans, like, even as a Florida State fan, this was a great read to kind of hear it from the other side. So it's over there at the Cavalier Connection. I highly recommend you check it out. I read the whole thing because I thought it was really great because it helps me kind of understand maybe how they're going to come at Florida State to stop us. So do me just kind of walk me through that article. And if Virginia comes out on top, because I think personally the difference in this game is going to be the depth, the speed, and the defense. I think the defense is going to be the number one difference in this game because I think both offenses are going to score some points. But I think the defense is going to be the difference. So if UVA can do enough to slow down Florida State, how does that happen? Kind of talk me through what you said in the article.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate all the kind words about the article. like I mentioned already before tonight, it's going to be tough. FSU outmatches Virginia, especially on the FSU offensive side of the ball. To me, you've got to get Florida State behind the chains early. You know, if we defer, if we win the coin toss and defer, which Elliott typically likes to defer, you know, first down, second down, you know, I'm expecting, and again, there's a reason I'm not coaching. I'm expecting Florida State to run the ball. They've ran it really successfully. If we can make a tackle for loss on first down, a tackle for loss on second down, if they do drop back, if we get a sack on first or second down, set up for a third and long, third and medium opportunity. And like you mentioned, we've been good on third down defensively. And you know, you get the crowd involved that way. You get the crowd, hey, it's third down, let's get loud. Whereas if Florida State, the first couple plays, if they run the ball and run it through the entire defense, it sucks the soul out of every fan in Scott Stadium. Make them earn it, I'd say. You know, and there's going to be a lot of points. As I mentioned, FSU is going to score as many as they want, maybe not 70 like we were exaggerating earlier.
Right.
It's just the reality of the situation. Florida State's going to score, and they're going to score a lot. So Virginia's just got to keep scoring. If Virginia gets stopped, that's a big loss. You got to spend the whole first quarter scoring. You can't let up, if that makes sense. And as far as Castellanos goes, I mentioned C.J. Bailey's a similar quarterback, I think. And as far as – now, C.J. Bailey's also 6 foot six.
Yeah.
He's really tall, whatever he is. but he's also quick. He has a cannon of an arm. You know, and Virginia struggled a lot against him. I really just think if you can find a way to contain Castellanos, not let him get out of the pocket, don't let him run, because if he runs, it's going to be trouble, especially with how we've struggled with tackling as of late. And then also, you know, you just got to let him make him throw, I think. And you got to come after him. You got to bring extra guys into the box. I'm really pessimistic when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. As far as offense goes, though, like I've said, I think Virginia can have their way, and I might be proven wrong tomorrow night. But, you know, you got to keep scoring. You can't let up. And if Virginia scores like they have all season, they will have a shot at the end. It could come down to a shootout situation where whoever has the ball last wins the game. And honestly, if that's the case, I'm happy with it, because that means that Virginia did everything they could to be in the game and give themselves a shot. And if Virginia has the last possession, I think they 100% could have a shot at Florida State with Chandler Morris. And I'm really, like I said earlier, I'm really interested to see what offensive coordinator Des Kitchens is going to cook up and what he's going to want to run, because he opened up the playbook a lot against Stanford in the red zone. He put some people in motion, direct snapping, direct snap, reverse pass. And he's done that all season. So I'm really curious to know where he's going to want to go, if they're going to want to run the ball a lot on first down like they've been doing, because I feel like Florida State's kind of going to expect that. I don't know. It's a whole lot, but, you know, I really expect, you know, Florida State to score a lot. It's just a matter of can Virginia keep up, I think, in Virginia's offense.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's going to be a good game, especially early, right? And you know, the thing is, when we always say on our show, like, there's no such thing as moral victories, right? But you can also go – you know, if you're Virginia and you come out of this and it is whoever has the ball last in a one possession game, because really the spread's only down to, I think, 6.5 now. So it's less than, you know, we're less than a touchdown favorite as the number 8 team in the country. I think as Virginia, you can go, okay, well, we went blow for blow with a top 10 team. You can look down that schedule. We said this with Alabama in the opener, right? Like, obviously we want to win the game, but if this is like a final whistle type of game, I can find 9 wins on that schedule, right? And then you end up going and thumping them. So then it's like, okay, well, now maybe we can look at 10, 11, 12 wins maybe. We'll see that. It's going to be interesting. And for me, man, like, I'm just really excited to see Florida State against another team with a pulse, right? I mean, obviously, the Bama game had us on cloud 9. But then you basically beat 2 cupcakes that don't move the needle for you. Like, as the Bama wins, I've always said this, the Bama win gets farther in the rearview mirror. I just want to know that what I saw against Alabama, I can trust that that is who this team is. And I think, you know, there's a lot of our fan base thinks this game's going to get out of hand. And I just think, like, I can see that scenario where if the defense caves and our defense plays like it did at Alabama, we only gave it 341 yards and 17 points against Alabama. Yep. But I think week 5 Virginia offense versus week 1 Ty Simpson making his first start on the road, I think they're probably comparable, right? And so I do think it's going to be a good test for Florida State. And I do think this is going to let us know as Florida State fans, like, this team is for real, or either like, okay, we maybe we're not as good as we thought, but we're still a good team, right? If you go up there and it's a final whistle game, and that's no disrespect to UVA, but as a top 10 team, you should go up there and win by a couple scores when you just kind of look at where both programs are at. But still, you guys are really doing good stuff this year. And so that's why, like, I'm nervous about this game, because we also have Miami on the backside of this. So this has trap game written all over it for us as well. And Lord knows we have the worst history in Charlottesville as a top 10 team. Like, so there's the juju factor as well. But let's round this episode out. I got a couple more things for you. So we've talked about the big names for Virginia, but for each of you, give me a player or two that FSU fans should watch out for that maybe we haven't talked about. And it can be offense or defense.
That's a good question. I'd say one name that we didn't mention, and he hasn't been too active this year, but I really think he could make an impact if Kitchens decides to, backup tight end Dakota Twitty. And I think he might be listed as an or with Say Janus. He was a wide receiver that turned a tight end this last offseason. He's huge. He's still got the speed and agility of a wide receiver. And, you know, he was used a bit in the NC State game. They haven't used him too much, and I'm wondering if, like, they're trying to use him as a secret weapon. Like, hey, we're going to plug him in here. And Say Janus has been great at tight end, too. But I think maybe him, I've been waiting for him all season. I was on him all off season long saying, hey, this guy's going to be a game changer. He hasn't done too much yet. Hasn't gotten many opportunities to. So I think he could potentially do something big. I really hope he does. On the defensive side of the ball, though, a name to watch, maybe like a Mitchell Milton, who's a defensive edge who plays bandit, transferred in from Ohio State this last offseason. And he hasn't made the biggest impact yet. He's had, I think he has one sack listed. He has a couple tackles listed. He's been a every down player. He came from being a rotational guy at Ohio State. I think he's bound to have a breakout game where he gets through the offensive line a couple times, and he's more of a pass rusher, so maybe get to the quarterback. I really hope he can. But I think we mentioned a lot of the names that we do expect to have an impact. Just the biggest worry is, will these names from the secondary do their job? So,
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned the pass rusher, the transfer from Ohio State, package player. Like, we literally have the same situation. We got James Williams from Nebraska, who was a package player, pass rush guy. Actually, according to PFF, the most productive pass rusher in the country last year. He's transitioned now to an every down player. And he is tied for the lead in pressures, but we just really haven't seen him affect the game like we had hoped. So we're actually hoping for him to have a breakout game too. So I guess that'll be one to watch. Now, Jeff, you said that you're going to be in the stands cheering on Virginia and all that and making a bunch of noise. And so you got the pulse on what Scott Stadium feels like for this game. I'm sure you've been a fan for a long time. So, man, let me throw this one to you. I'm a Florida State fan. I'm headed up to Charlottesville Friday night under the lights at Scott Stadium. I've never been there before. Man, what can I expect when I walk in? What is the vibe? What is the environment going to be like? How loud does it get in there? Just kind of walk me through that, man, because I'm excited to see it. I've gotten to where I've gotten a little longer in the tooth. I kind of like to go see other people's environments now. So, man, I'm really excited about it. So kind of set me up for what I can expect to see on Friday night.
Yeah, so I'm a little nervous about that. And, you know, it's not going to be the Florida State vibe, I can tell you that, in Tallahassee. So I'm an old guy, and the first year I ever had season tickets was I was a teenager, and it was called Who's on the Hill, and it was $20. You got four games on the hill. Unfortunately, there were two games not included. It was 1995, Florida State and Virginia Tech. During those years, and me and Jay had season tickets every year for years after that. That was a great home field environment. I mean, the place was nuts. I know you see the highlights on Warwick Dunn and that whole deal and the place going nuts. That was the environment back then. Now we're struggling. We've not been a consistent winner. The last time we played Florida State, we had a pretty dang good crowd, and it was loud. Over the last few years, just the Stanford game last weekend drew less than the William & Mary game. 33,000, Jack?
36,000.
It was, and the I expect
60,500.
Okay.
So I expect tomorrow night for there to be a better crowd than we've had all year. It's a Friday night. It's on national TV. I'm just hoping for it to be loud. It can get good. we just haven't seen it good like that since 2019. And so I'm nervous about that. The other thing is student section. Students now have the hill and they have a section in the stadium. And I mean, and I'm expecting that thing to be slam full tomorrow night. It will be.
Mm-hmm.
However, at halftime of these games, these students leave. You can't keep them in the stadium, and I don't know what to do. Like, I mean, last week it was pretty full, and at halftime, after halftime, there might have been 1,000 students left in the stadium.
Mm.
And you could say that's good because you were blowing somebody out, but I'm just going to say this. It's like that every game. So that makes me nervous. If we can have a good home field environment tomorrow night, we have a shot. But if we come out weak, that could be, you know, that's something we need to take advantage of is have an edge with the crowd.
Yeah, and that's a problem across the country, really, where like everyone is struggling to keep the fans in the stands. And so far, and I'll say, like, from a personal perspective, we know, like, last year when we went 2-10, I literally tried to give away tickets and I could not give them away. I think Florida State Miami tickets right now are about $600 a pop. So like, winning changes everything, man. You know, winning changes everything. That Alabama atmosphere was one of the best I've seen in Doak. I stormed the field and everything. I'm a little too old for that. We got about a 6-foot drop off that wall. Thought I was going to snap an ankle or something like that. But Miami next week's going to be huge as well. I mean, I'm still excited. You know, I'm sure it's going to be louder than Duke that I was at last year and stuff like that. I'm excited to see it. I'm sure the students will show up for this one, right? Because it is a big game. And so we'll see. So, man, the last one I got for you here is let's just talk about how you see this game going, right? We said that you were going to save your picks because you're doing your preview show here in a little bit. I'm going to be joining that as well. So we've already dropped ours, so I can give you mine on that show. No big deal there. But we talked about before the show how we're going to do this. We did this with the Alabama guy that we had on a couple weeks ago is how we did in the preseason. When you look at a game, when you're staring down this game on Friday night, let's just give our confidence level on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being there's no chance we're winning this game, 10 being it's a lock, there's no chance we're losing this game, 5 is a coin flip game. Again, this is less than a touchdown spread. So you got all the juju factors. You got the 1995. It's a blueout. Now, we joked on our show, I hope we turn the blueout into a blowout, but I don't know that that's going to be the case. So on that scale of 1 to 10, Jack, I'll throw it to you first. Let me know where your head's at in this game on a scale of 1 to 10, your confidence meter that Virginia can pull the upset.
Is it cheating if I say 5? I don't really give a but here's the thing, and we'll give our official score predictions in a little bit, in about an hour. But I truly, this game, non-UVA fans, I don't think understand how important this game is, not only for the ACC, not for the C, but for the program. And Coach Elliott is in his, I don't know, fourth year, whatever it is. And he doesn't have a true signature win. His only good win, he had a top 10 win against North Carolina, his second season, which it was an unbelievable game. But that season, we won 3 games total, I think. This is the point where UVA brought in all these transfers. They had the big NIL investment. And, like, this could be a turning point for the program. And how big a win would be for the program of the University of Virginia football athletics would be so huge. And they need it bad. They need it more than just an ACC win or more than just to improve to 5-1 or 4-1. With that being said, though, when you look logistically at FSU's roster and all the weapons they got, I just don't know how they're going to stop it. The fan in me wants to say Virginia's going to win this game, and I truly believe they believe that they're going to win, and I truly believe they'll have a shot. With that being said, though, I'm gonna give you a 4 because I don't want to give 5 because that's just like college football. I'll give you 4.
Okay, I appreciate the honesty, and 5 is kind of a cop out, but at least I leave the door open for you. No, man, I feel you on that. Jeff, what you got, man? How confident are you that the Hoos can pull off the upset?
So I'm the guy who was in my living room in 1995 bouncing around like couldn't believe my eyes, and we've something about Florida State. We've had some really good games against Florida State, with the last one being in 2019, an outstanding game. It was a great game overall, and we pulled it out. And so I'm just super excited. I think if we get the crowd there, and the crowd is loud, I give us a 6. I think we're gonna win the game. I really do. And if the crowd lets us down, then I go to it. It comes down to the crowd. I'm begging the crowd to show up and be loud. If we don't have the crowd, I say a four. If we got the crowd and they're making noise, I think we're going to win the game. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm 46 years old, and I'm going to be on the field when it's over if we win the game. I'll go live on StreamYard. I'm gonna be on the field at 46 years old celebrating with the team if we win.
If that's we lose, funny.
It's a long
ride home.
Yeah.
We got two and a half hours. We're not staying in a hotel.
The good thing is at Virginia, if you want to charge, you know, and you don't want to jump the wall, which I've done that, there is the hill. So you can run right down the hill onto the field. So I can conserve my my limbs.
Yeah.
So I'm usually a pessimistic person, and Jack's the positive one, and Jack gives me a hard time because of it. But I really have a good feeling about tomorrow night.
I'm stunned that he's picking us to win. Stunned.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I just have a good feeling, and I just hope the team doesn't let me down. I wish y'all the best all season long, except for tomorrow night.
Yeah. Oh, same way, man. Same way. And it's funny you mentioned that, because like I remember right before when we knew we had Alabama in the bag, you could see my seats are right next to the student section, and the guy that sits next to me, he's probably 56, and he's like, "What you gonna do when these crazy jokers go down on the field?" I said, "We gonna meet on the logo. You better get down there. We all going." And sure enough, we did. I still have a scar from where I stood on the brick wall, but I was not missing the opportunity. So, man, I hear you on that. And it's never bad to do the homer pick, right? I mean, we all like next week. Obviously we're a top 10 team now, but I'm never gonna pick us to lose against Miami because I hate those guys. So, I don't blame you there at all one bit. I think it's gonna be a really good game, right? I really, really do. The biggest concern for me is, again, I haven't seen us tested since Alabama. I just want to know that's who we are. We also haven't played on the road yet. This is our first road game. It's the first time we played at night. You guys have had a night game. So it's different, right? Your body clock's different. It's a short week. You got to travel. And so those are the things where I think can be a factor in this game. But I hope Florida State gets it done. You know, for me, I have my confidence meter somewhere probably like an 8.5. And that's no disrespect to UVA. I think the defense is going to be the difference for us that ends the day there. But that's going to be it for this one, guys. I really, really appreciate Jack and Jeff coming on from the Cavalier Connection to talk about the who's of the who's before this big Friday night game. So, guys, before we jump out of here, tell everybody where they can find you. If they're a Cavalier fan watching, if they're a Florida State fan who wants to know about Virginia before this Friday night matchup, man, where can they find you guys? Because you guys are killing the Virginia coverage. I have enjoyed watching you guys grow. I've been watching the channel and the social media, and you guys are blowing up, and rightfully so.
Appreciate that. TheCavalierConnection.com. We've been doing a lot of articles recently, which is sort of a new venture for us. We started a few months ago, and it's been going really well. So if you want a preview on Florida State, I wrote a preview article kind of talking about what Virginia's going to bring to the table, what Florida State's going to bring to the table from a Virginia's fan perspective. So obviously I'm not an expert on what you guys got going on, but you know, from my perspective. So if you want to go check that out, learn more about Virginia for sure. And then we got other articles up there as well. And then be sure to go check us out on YouTube, on X at Talk UVA Sports, and on YouTube at the Cavalier Connection. Where we'll have our preview episode coming out either later tonight or tomorrow morning with Jesse joining us. So, and you know, we got all sorts of content there with different guests. We have another guest coming on later tonight as well. So, appreciate you having us on, Jesse.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. I really appreciate you guys coming on. We just did our preview for FSU UVA. It is up on the channel now. I just dropped the preview article as well. The funny thing is I like hearing it from the other side. I like to see what they think about us, and I like to see how you think Virginia should attack us. So I definitely encourage you guys to go check that out. Again, it's always cool to kind of hear it from both sides to kind of see where everybody's head's at. So make sure you check that out at thecavalierconnection.com. Make sure you check them out on social media as well as YouTube there. And Jack, Jeff, I can't wait to see you guys tomorrow. Yep. I'm going to be hitting the road early for Charlottesville. Jack, again, I appreciate you helping me with the credential process. I'm probably going to be tailing you for most of the game to be like, look like an idiot and don't let me get lost or something like that. So, man, just really, really super excited. And thanks again, guys. And we'll see you tomorrow night.
We'll see you.
Yeah.
All right. Y'all have a good one.